Hello, everyone. Welcome to our October 28th UMCS board meeting. I am going to call the meeting to order here at 6:19 p.m. And with that, Greg, can you record attendance for us, please?
Sure. Christina, I don't see. Christina's absent. Davis.
I am here.
And this is Greg. I'm here. Jan.
Here.
Kara. That's exciting. Welcome. Maru. Are you here? You got
Right,
it.
I'm here. Yes.
There you go. Welcome.
Thanks.
Stacy.
Here.
Stacy, it's exciting you're here too.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, so we are six of seven with our
All right.
new boards, and we have quorum, and Daniel and Krishna are also here in person.
Awesome. Do we have a need to reorder any of the items on the agenda today? Does not look so. All right. With that, we'll move on to board and community appreciations. Does anyone have an appreciation?
I appreciate Anna Elbers and all the work she's done around the election, and Sita for stepping up to the president role. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm also happy to be here and look forward to getting started with this school year and for years, future years of activity with the board and with the FAC.
Yeah, I'd like to appreciate all of the new FAC board members and FAC officers that have joined us tonight. I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
I want to appreciate Teacher Ash and Mr. Freedom for having snakes in the classroom because that has been thrilling for my home.
I want to thank all of our awesome parent and community members who came and beautified campus the other weekend, whenever that was. I have lost track of the days, but we appreciate that work so much. Thank you all. Specific appreciation to Marcella, who organized that and made that happen, and then supervised and micromanaged it in my absence.
I wanted to appreciate Krishna and the whole school and all the anti-racist, anti-bias work they're doing, in particular with Dr. Rogers Ard. I was able to attend. I've been wanting to attend a session and I haven't gotten to go to anything, but I was able to finally go to the critical race session and really appreciate the work that the whole community has put in. To anti-racist, anti-bias work over the past couple of years, and to opening that session up. I was happy to attend. And just a appreciation for Greg, I just appreciate how you are always there to answer questions and are happy to do it. Or at least you act happy to do it.
Any other appreciations from board or community members? Right. If not, do any board members have any comments on items not on today's agenda? Right. Are there any presentations from the floor? Would anyone like to speak on items not on today's agenda? All right. With that, I will hand it over to Krishna for the end of school report. Krishna.
Awesome. Thank you. Apologies for going on and off camera. It's because I'm trying to eat my dinner. But I'm going to take a break from that to share this awesome report. Welcome. It's October. Time is flying. And it is getting cold out, and except for today, nice and warm, but excited that it's fall. Got lots of things coming up, and a couple of things to look out for. We're going to be talking about online auction soon, so keep an eye out for that. And if you have anything you'd like to donate, product, gift card, service, email our fundraising team. Also, we're switching our one new awesome thing that our operations team has set up is we have set up a partnership with a new COVID testing site, which will come and administer testing on site to all of our staff and anyone in our community who would like to sign up and do that. And that starts tomorrow. It is open for community members from 3 to 3:30. It's a short window. They might stay till 4 if there's enough need. And then staff will be testing before the end of the day between 2 and 3. And so please look out for some more emails. I sent out info on how to sign up last week. And I think there's something coming out in the digest today from our ops team as well. So also upcoming soon, conference week, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but just a reminder that we'll have minimum days that full week. Also that Tuesday of conference week, aftercare is not happening. They have a professional development day, so they already notified all of their community members, I believe, but just saying that out loud so I don't forget. And then we have our next community education night with Dr. Rogers Ard on November 30th, where she'll be talking about the purpose of schools in the United States and getting a little bit into Brown v. Board of Education, which she's excited about. So lots of exciting things coming up in this next month. That's something we didn't need in there. Sorry, back up. I'm not like, we left our bullet points and our whole note about everything that was supposed to be in the slide. So you can ignore that slide and I'm gonna replace this later. I'm gonna turn it over to Daniel.
So one exciting thing that happened for us is that we had Elizabeth Slade from Public Montessori in Action come visit us last week on Wednesday and Thursday. And she had some big buckets of work while she was here. She did an all staff PD to fine tune our Nautilus system. And we talked specifically about how to support our key students in the classroom in this year of coming back from distance learning. We spent a morning observing all of the classrooms, and Elizabeth also observed coaching sessions and provided feedback there. And she also did an extra PD for elementary teachers around systems, since we've been working so hard on work systems in the classroom. A couple pictures from her visit, her arrival. We all held our breath for a quick picture. A lot of work in classrooms that she saw, which was really cool to show her, since we've been working with her for a couple of years, but she hasn't been able to come on site. And so that was nice. And yeah, there was lots of work happening during that time, and we had lots of conversations about the work that we saw and what we'd like to see in the future. So what's happening? Thanks, Krishna. So, some of the next steps that came out of her visit that she had conversations with myself and Krishna about, one was making sure to prioritize observation and coaching of teachers. She really enjoyed seeing the systems in place, and so continuing to support the lesson planning process and the progress monitoring. So how we see a student through after we give a lesson, and seeing what that follow-up work looks like, and seeing how the student is ready for that next lesson. And then goals around increasing engagement, group work. She saw a clear step towards like seeing lots more work happening in the classroom, but now, especially in the elementary classrooms, how do we connect that to students working collaboratively on projects? And then increasing the number of Montessori materials that we see in classes. And one of the things that she brings up a lot is around creating a whole school kind of a understanding and common language around language of reverence, how we speak about students and their experiences in the classrooms. And so I think this links to a kind of sample table of what that looks like, but developing that as a staff here at UMCS. So we're continuing to build common language around our work with students. Around testing and conferences, we're winding down NWA testing. We're over 90% complete with all the tests. I think it's 94% in lower grades and 90% in upper grades. So we have one more day there. We expect to be at around 94, 95% completion by the end of tomorrow. And family conference signups, I think some even went out today, but they're gonna be out by tomorrow or early next week for that conference week, the week of November 15th. All conferences are gonna continue to be conducted over Zoom just to maintain safety. And so that's going to be going out for starting at around 1 o'clock every day, Monday through Friday, that November 15th week. And there's a link here that takes you to a sample schedule that teachers have, that families are gonna have access to around the types of things that you can expect at your conference.
All right, back to me. Sorry for all that glitchy slide control. All right, so it's enrollment season. It's really exciting. So I know we've talked a bit about current year enrollment at the last meetings, but it is like on us now for next year. It's always a little surprise reminder how quickly we get back into this, but applications open November 15th, I'm pretty sure, in Oakland Enrolls for next year, for the 2022-2023 school year. And there's a link there so you can check all the dates there. And so our team's been working a lot thinking about creative outreach and recruitment. We're always looking for any new opportunities, particularly to recruit TKK students. And some things we're already working towards is we're reaching out to our local Head Starts. I want to talk to our Familias Unidas de UMCS, which is formerly known as our Latinx community, and check in with them, though. Sylvia, I see you're here. So let's connect. And I'd love to see other ways that we can reach out through FAC and our community to really recruit thoughtfully to continue building a diverse community here at Urban. We're starting our enrollment tours November 10th. And we've got a couple every month scheduled in November and December already. And we'll add more to the calendar as needed January, February. Currently, we're just planning virtual tours also, but we're considering the format of that looking a little bit different than it's looked in last year, and actually touring live through some classrooms in the daytime tours that we offer. And we're discussing that potential for doing some live in-person tours that are after hours so that we can do walkthroughs of classrooms without students here present potentially, but we haven't quite worked out details of that. None of those are formally calendared at this point, but definitely excited about kicking off our enrollment season. And tell all your friends to fill out the application, especially for those TKK kids. So I just want to do a quick mention of facilities. It's on the agenda later for other closed session items, but wanted to first just again put out a huge thank you to all of our families and community members who came in on the weekend and did all the amazing work that they did here. It's wonderful. Definitely the weather has been wreaking havoc on a couple of those pieces. So we'll be checking back in to figure out how to make things more lasting. That like fits right into tents, right? We're looking still about potential tent solutions that don't require us going to DSA, which is the California Department of State Architects, right? Which is a license, permitting essentially complex. So if we drill anything into the ground, we have to go to DSA. So it's problematic for figuring out how to put up temporary structures. We're definitely exploring the idea of just anchoring with like buckets full of concrete on enough legs. But one of the issues that came up in our last windstorm was that even anchored items, that the poles break because the structures aren't strong enough to withstand weather even when anchored. So we're still looking at that. And if people have creative ideas, they should you should definitely reach out. And then we're submitting our Prop 39 application, which is the process that charter schools go through to obtain district unused district-owned facilities for charter schools. And so that is being submitted tomorrow. That is generally the way that we've obtained our year-to-year leases. Super confident that we will have no problem extending our lease here through Prop 39 for at least 1 year. But we're also working on continuing the conversations for potential opportunities for a longer term lease here at this site, because we like it here and we want to make it our home. So that's it for us, I think, for now. Are there any questions from anybody?
I had a quick question, Daniel, regarding Elizabeth's feedback on the coaching sessions. Is that to you as a coach, to the teachers, or both of you?
That was to me.
Are there any other questions about the head of school report? No?
Not a question, just a comment that it was so rad to see like the virtual tours and stuff go on the Google Calendar and like everything's ready. And if there's, if any website updates have to get done and that I can be helpful with, they can let me know too. Maybe those, I haven't even looked, maybe those are all ready to go too. Yeah, okay.
Right. Any other questions or comments from board members or community members? It does not look like it. So with that, I will hand it over to Stacy for the Finance Committee.
Hey, everyone. Let me get the slides going here. Okay, can you guys see that okay? All right. So we'll do an update on current financials. Somebody's about what's happening with the state. As you guys know, there's a lot of one-time funding given the pandemic and other shifts in investments, and then go from there. So where we are compared to our last forecast, context for some folks who might be new to the conversation is that we've been talking about we are growing our school and this is gonna be an adjustment year where we acknowledge that there will be a deficit as we try to fill out the different grade levels and grow into them. So there's going to be gaps in terms of enrollment in certain age levels, and that's something we want to keep so that we can continue growing the school and be fully enrolled and structured for next year. So that's kind of the big bar that you guys are seeing. But then the increase this month came from, there was additional special education related funding from the state. So that's at the green bar of 37,000 that you see. What went up, and then service and other operations, we're needing to build a fence, so that's a big part of that, and some other operation expenses that happen. So we are still forecasting about negative 161 for this year, knowing that it's an investment for the school and a structure we want for the future. So related to that, that implies that we had we updated the fund balance, and that's projecting around 28%. So it's what was similar to what we had last time. So we're not too nervous at this point. In terms of where we are on cash, because of all the different flows of one-time funding, we are projecting to stay above our ideal goal line of 3 months of expenses for most of the year. So that's we're going to be in a positive place in terms of cash flow getting through June. A lot of the funding actually comes in July, so we'll be bouncing back up again after that usually. But we're looking pretty good for the most of the year and not needing to do another draw on other funds. So in terms of next steps, I know that we as a finance committee understand that the investment for next year is needed with some of the budget gap. And also this is like a recovery year from everything from last year still, and still adjusting to the new normal. We are going to continue to partner with Krishna and the team to figure out, are there ways to find additional revenue, whether that's working on enrollment and continue to work on waitlist and recruiting, to Krishna's point earlier, other potentially relief that we're looking, just keeping an eye out for, because a lot of schools are experiencing very similar challenges. Other revenue sources, we already started reallocating some of the ESSER funding. As a reminder, ESSER funding, there's the different ones can be used through the next couple of years. So we are just reallocating some future funding to this year to close some of that gap. And there's additional state relief. So the extended learning opportunity has about 91. So there's a few other things that were just in the pre-K, there's like 55. So there's a few other different funding sources that will be coming in that we're projecting that we currently do not have in our budget forecast yet. So waiting on that. Fundraising, I think Readathon will end up around like 21,000. Is that right?
For the Readathon?
Readathon, uh-huh.
Yeah, I think we're 21 and change. Okay. That's what it looks like when I look on the website.
Yeah, it was just under 21,000.
Perfect. Yep. Okay, so we're about 21,000 for the Readathon. So thanks to the community, we everybody's support, we were able to beat projections by $5,000 to $10,000. So that's huge, especially in this year. So thank you for everybody's partnership and support in that fundraising effort. So we're going to continue working in all these other areas for additional revenue, solidifying enrollment and attendance, to support ADA funding, and we're possible. We already came in with a pretty tight budget in terms of expenses, but Krishna and team are constantly looking out for additional ways to save where it doesn't impact students and teachers. So again, it's a tricky year financially for a lot of school systems, and we are actually getting a chance to be strategic about how we're using our funds in that deficit to invest in next year. So that's where we are financially. In terms of some of the upcoming state funding pieces, as you guys know, there's a lot of state and federal funding coming down to support. There's just a high level of where things might be and what's projected for additional kind of learning opportunities. You guys might hear the baby crying outside my door, or not, but you guys are all used to it, so that's par for course. But for educator effectiveness, so we're still waiting for DDE pieces and whatnot, but we're estimating about $80,000 potentially for our school. And we're continuing to work on the different documents and plans we need to submit for that to happen. So as those are being completed, we'll keep the board apprised on the efforts and plans and the final estimated amounts of revenue from this grant.
Yes, on that one, Stacey, we're going to talk about educator effectiveness in a moment. But yeah.
All right. I'm like, it's in the October. This is, yeah. But we're already there. And then pre-K planning, as you know, universal TK is something that's being invested in. So we're likely going to be receiving $55,000 for this. We set by FY24. So that's also something that we are planning for as we're thinking about TK expansion. All right. So just FY for the board. As you mentioned, there's like a bunch of different one-time money coming through. So we are talking about some today, but we'll keep bringing different ones to the board as we require board approval for the plans for us to then be able to access the funding. All right, I think that's mostly it. Any additional questions or comments, Finance Committee or Krishna?
I just wanted to make a comment for the new FAC members that we, as a finance committee, rely on EdTech, who we contract with to help manage the finances of the organization. They do an awesome job. It took a little bit to get them on track and really getting them the information that we want, but I don't think there's any questions about how they're fully on board with what they're doing and how they support us as an organization. So I definitely wanted to mention that our slides are prepared by EdTech, which is why you see EdTech branded slides on our finance committee slides. So just wanted to mention that because I was very confused by that for a while. So.
And you can come to any of the finance committee meetings to meet our client managers and folks who I collaborate with lots more than just at those meetings around our all of our greater finances.
Yeah, so, and yeah. They're so helpful right now because there's all these different pieces of potential funding coming through, and they're supporting a lot of other charter schools. So they really understand what that could look like and specific deadlines to meet so we can access the funding, which I think is extremely helpful. I know some other school systems just don't have that level of clarity as they're navigating all of this. And so they might miss a deadline for this, not be able to access the funding. I appreciate Krishna staying really on top of that with our EdTech support team.
I'll just throw in a plug that if any of our new board members, CETA, members of the community, if anyone needs help reading those charts and reports or anything, it's okay to reach out. It's okay to come to and ask questions at the committee meeting. It's also okay to just reach out to Stacy or me or Davis, and we can do a one-on-one. That's all allowed. Or put on an event for families to how to decipher the hieroglyphics is all allowed.
Finance team geeks out on that stuff, so we really like telling people how to read the budget. It's fun.
I'll also just comment, I really, really, really am proud of the work that's happened here around finances and the ongoing work and the work that's still upcoming and how we don't have our heads buried in any sand around it. And some of our largest school systems nearby us are having some financial situations that I've never ever seen before. And so I just appreciate that we don't have all the same dynamics as some of the larger systems. We have many of them, and that we are trying to take them on head on.
I'll just say a plug to come to the finance committee if you want to talk more. We are very excited about where we are. And as sometimes the deficit can look a little, can seem concerning, but actually I think it's for us a very intentional investment in building out our school. So we know exactly what's happening, where the numbers are at, and why things are happening, and have plans to mitigate it over the next few years to recuperate and also continue investing in our kids and our teachers.
Yep.
All right, Davis, back to you.
I have a couple of questions and comments. That one comment, really exciting that the readathon beat projection by so much. Congratulations, that's great. Was wondering, are there thoughts on thinking about the future next steps in terms of where likely to, you know, lean in more in terms of enrollment, ADA remedies versus additional revenue remedies, and was wondering too what is ADA this year. I know at academic committee I was going to share we had looked at attendance data. We didn't look at ADA specifically, but the attendance data we had looked at seemed really strong. So I was curious if
Last time I checked, we have 351 or something students. ADA that you looked at academic had a glitch, which I learned today. And so our total full year, I was worried there was a glitch. We were thinking there was a glitch. We've been asking and looking for it for a month. We couldn't find it. And then, so we're like, maybe there's no glitch. But my gut was correct. There was a glitch. It's above what we projected in the budget. I think it's at like 94.7% for the whole school for the whole year. But I don't have demo breakdowns yet. But we'll definitely re-review that at next academic. So that should definitely be on that agenda. And in our long-term planning, the finance committee has done a lot of work on like long-term enrollment planning and modeling to stabilize at all grade levels. And in that process, looking at budgeting out like well beyond what we're required to do. I don't know how far it is. Greg is like 5 years out in thinking about lowering actual like parent fundraising and grant fundraising and stabilizing enrollment. So there's a lot of work being done around that. And so the goal isn't to lean in and ask parents for more money or look for more outside funding. It's to become more self-sustaining on public funds, which has always been the goal, to show that this model can work on public funds.
Jan, I'll just add, so we're at 350, the forecast, the financial document shows we're at 352 enrolled. So we're, you know, Parent Square shows we're at 351, but that forecast also says 94% and we're a little higher than that. So I think it's roughly what you see in the forecast document is about where we actually are.
Okay.
In terms of ADA.
Hey, Jan, I think also as part of the answer to your question, I think we, in terms of like leaning in and what it means for our budget for the future, I think there is definitely an intentional investment in our staff this year and investing in our teachers and making sure that we can accommodate our growth projections for the years going forward. Whereas if we were to lean in and say, hey, look, right, we want to reduce expenses for the sake of this year's budget, I think I don't know what the word destabilizes how we look at the future, and it makes it harder to staff classrooms going forward and what our projections are for next year. So I think there was a decision/recommendation, right, by the finance committee to allow for that deficit to bleed into this year to name that as an investment in our staff for next year and years going forward.
Got it. Okay, that's helpful to hear.
Hi, can I ask the question now?
Absolutely, yeah.
Great, I'm curious, I feel like I've heard this a couple times about investments in staff this year. Can you just say a little bit more about what that specifically looks like?
So in a context that Davis was just speaking to, it is the conscious decision to not consolidate classrooms, even though we should. So, because we would not be able to restaff them next year when we know we'll need them again. So we should have consolidated at least one whole primary classroom. So two personnel and everything that goes along with that based on our current numbers. So that's the main investment that we're speaking of here. We're also have like a pretty huge and regular investment that we make in like professional development and other things. And we have those numbers are higher than they've ever been right now, like since I've been here anyways. So definitely like prioritizing money in professional development, supporting potential teacher training, both Montessori or potentially state credentialing and that work. But the main piece I think that Davis is referencing that's impacting the overall budget is the choice to not consolidate classrooms.
Thanks.
Look at it, we got babies in the picture. I love it.
Hi. Oh, more babies coming.
Oh, it's a baby competition.
This is fantastic. Hi, cutie.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, one of my frames on it is the school received multiple hundreds of thousands of one-time dollars. And so we're going to see investments that eventually will, like, some years we like booked more revenue last year because you can't spend it all last year. So we're going to see these sorts of investments and these sorts of deficits. And the work the committee's done is to figure out, well, to what extent are these, what parts of this deficit is structural, like goes beyond what we can plan on in terms of recurring revenue, and what parts of it is it just use of our one-time dollars? And we're pretty confident that when we look out just two, three years, which is where this one-time dollars takes us, like we're in a pretty good place structurally. Yeah, I mean, we have an unofficial goal. We've had two official goals around a percent of end fund balance of at least, I think it was 20%, which we've hit, and then cash on hand of 3 months, which we're basically going to hit this year, and a third one that I'm going to that I'll propose now, is that like when we adopt budgets, that like we try and make whatever the operating income we forecast for that year kind of match whatever we think the family fundraising would be for that year. So that like family fundraising is like saving for the rainy day. And if we don't, you know, if we miss a little bit on family fundraising, like we're structurally fine that year. We're just not saving quite as much for the rainy day, but we're operating on our recurring dollars. But I just also want to, Stacy mentioned this, I'll just put a plug in of that, you know, that one-time deficit, there's still quite a bit of revenue that we haven't booked against this year yet. And it won't necessarily wipe it all the way around, but that number is going to keep shifting, and it gets more and more accurate throughout, you know, as we get closer and closer to June.
And I think also for the
questions from the public or other public comments.
I was just going to say, and also for context, you know, for our new board members and, you know, new attendees, 2-3 years ago, we could not have said any of this. Financially, we were in a much worse off place than we are now. So I think at least I tend to be pretty fiscally conservative. So to, you know, say that we're in a strong place and to allow that deficit in this fiscal year, I think is a point that we're pretty, you know, we're doing well financially, comparatively. And like I said, I think it's worth the investment this fiscal year to ensure our operations going forward. So. Sorry, with that, is there any more questions from the board member or community members on the Finance Committee report? Okay, with that, we will move on to the ESSER 3 expenditure plan. As you can see, there is a link to the plan on our agenda. Are there any questions or are there any items that people would like to discuss about ESSER 3?
I just Greg, realized, would you? Obviously, my name was next to this one somehow, yeah. But that's all good. I'll just share that this is one of the many sources of COVID dollars, federal dollars. We have to spend our approximately $322,000 over the next few school years, at least 20, and you need a plan before you can do it. So that's what we're adopting tonight. And you can see a few ways that we're, you know, the funds are meant to do just a couple of basic things. Keep school open and safe, and then address lost instructional time are really the two main ways. And so, you know, one of the ways our school stays open and safe is by having a full-time substitute teacher over all those years and their benefits. And so when people have to be out to be able to call on a sub in this time of acute sub shortages. So that's an investment that the team is looking to make and be able to keep making. And then you can see extending summer learning is one of the main ways of addressing the lost, any lost instructional time from when school was closed for in-person instruction. You can use funds in a variety of additional ways. And so you can see that we also put in aftercare opportunities during the school year, and then also counseling for students with staff right here on site. And then I'll just say some of these purposes or investments like aftercare or summer learning, they also align with a lot of other sources of COVID related funding and future state funding, like the expanded learning opportunity grant moving forward. So they also give us a chance to kind of prepare to some extent for like what summer and aftercare could look like in the future years. Christian, is that fair to say? You want to comment on any of that? You're good. Okay. All right. So with that, we can take public comment, questions about the plan. And then when Davis calls for it, we need a motion to approve. We have to turn it into county tomorrow.
I forget, Greg, are we supposed to, I think we're supposed to state, so Finance Committee recommended passage of ESSER 3.
Totally.
So.
Yep.
Any other questions, comments?
If you're asking
anyone?
About it's educator effectiveness that we do that we need to discuss tonight and not vote on. SR3, we definitely vote on tonight. Yeah.
Gotcha. I had a momentary. There are like 17 different compliance docs due like in the next
we're good.
Couple of days. And I was like, wait, were we supposed to public hearing? No, but it's just checking all the boxes.
Yeah, it's a lot. No, we're on track. We're good.
Any questions, comments?
I'll comment. Just OUSD did this last night at their board meeting, and they're, you know, they had to talk about $120 million, and I was just like, oh my god, I can't imagine. You know, just the scale of it is just it's massive. What they're charged with, which is amazing.
That sounds hard.
Yeah. It's just exactly. It's just like it's a lot for people to have to wrap their head around and plan.
If there are no other questions or comments, I will actually make a motion to approve the SR3 expenditure plan.
Okay.
Can I get a second? Sorry.
No, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I second.
Stacy seconds. And Greg, when you are ready, can you take the vote?
I will. Thank you to approve. Is there... just before I take a vote, any other, just one more opportunity, any public comment or any other questions? All righty, what's this? Davis, I didn't hear you.
Oh, sorry, you broke up there for a second. I vote aye.
Okay, this is Greg, I vote aye. Jan?
Abstain.
Kara?
Aye.
Maru?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Awesome. Fabulous. Motion passes. Okay, so you've got an SR3 plan. Congratulations.
Greg, do you want to do the educator
effectiveness? Yeah, so this one, educator effectiveness is also linked to on the agenda. This is a different set of money. As Stacy said, it's about $80,000. We have until like 2026 to spend it. Educator effectiveness is the name they often use like year after year. It's kind of like the educator effectiveness plan of 2020 or 2019. So this one's of 2021 to 2026. Personally, I won't be surprised if they have another educator effectiveness during that time frame between 21 and 26. We're not voting on this tonight. This is just a draft. It shows like the school basically saying for this amount of money, why don't we have great ways of investing it right now? There's kind of no, like bureaucratically, it kind of makes it a lot simpler to kind of just like, if we've got expenses that we knew we wanted to use dollars like this for, to just go ahead and book the revenue and book the expenses so that we make sure that we, you know, utilize every dollar, and it gives you time in case something goes wrong and you have plenty of school years to kind of not leave any money on the table, which is really the main goal. So you can see a few areas of proposed investment are helping teachers get their California credentials or get them cleared, training and professional development like coaches and contracting for with professional development trainings, and then like on-staff coaching for teachers to help them develop. So those are just a few ways of helping our educators be as effective as possible. So with that, like, this is again an opportunity to ask questions or suggest other ideas of how we might invest these dollars. And then you'll see this come back. It'll go through Finance Committee again, and we would vote on it at our early December meeting, probably separately, but maybe if we can on the consent agenda. And then questions or any public comment?
I appreciate the credentialing support there. I think it is really important to think about kind of supporting people within your community. So I'm glad to see that. For the focus area two, I'm curious if it kind of could be a little more specific. I think I would love to see exactly kind of what type of training and professional development, and would advocate for, you know, continuing anti-racist, anti-bias work, and kind of calling that out.
Yeah, so I can speak to that, Jan, because particularly if we book these funds this year, it's already budgeted for, and I can tell you exactly what we would spend it on. So the work that we do with Public Montessori in Action, with Elizabeth Slade, would qualify under that, as well as the work and the contract work that we do with Dr. Rochelle Rogers-Ard. And so she is continuing to do internal work as well as the external facing work with us this year, with a lens of like building internal capacity to take over that work and to slowly back out. And she's been working directly with our teachers for an extended period of time. So that definitely falls in under there. And same with the credentialing, that's actually stuff that we always offer. We clear teachers' credentials when they have state credentials and support that mentoring process, which is pretty costly, as well as we have paid for various Montessori training for various teachers every year that I've been here. Yeah. So we're going to just try to continue that and slowly up that also over the years. That's definitely in the long-term plan.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Go ahead, Sita.
I'm excited to hear that summer learning might be something that's on, you know, a potential item for spending additional funds. I think that the summer learning opportunities, especially for families that might be transferring in to Montessori at a later time, might be interesting, and that might be an interesting kind of way to support those dollars for families that just are new to Montessori. But I also think that even, gosh, a 2 or 3 week session for the kids would be really beneficial, so that there's none of that learning loss. So I'm glad to hear about that. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll definitely be sharing more about that as we get into logistics. And one of the challenges is we almost always have more people that want it than we have staffing available to support it. And so last year it was all invite only based on very specific data around learning loss. So students were invited based on being identified over several data points that indicated that they had experienced more than that, than the average learning loss in the pandemic year. And so it's likely that we'll have to do something like that again this year in order to have an equitable invitation system to our summer program, because it is very difficult to staff summer school because everybody needs a break. So it's usually a challenge to get more than like two classes running, but we're going to do our best and we have more time to plan for it this year.
Is the staff program usually, is the summer program usually staffed by the teachers that are on site during the school year?
Yes, always.
So that's why it's difficult.
It is difficult, but we are a Montessori school, so it's hard enough. It's very hard for us to find teachers like all the time. And so it's important to us, if we're running a summer program, that it's aligned with our year-long, with our, you know, during the year program. So we have several ways that we convince people to come and join us in the summer, and we've managed it every time we've been able to offer it. We've been able to get teachers to come support, but that can be, it's part of the planning process.
Any other questions or public comment?
Has Urban ever partnered with any organizations for summer learning? Just thinking about some of the staffing challenges. I imagine that would be hard to get the consistency of programming, like you mentioned, Krishna, but I don't know if there are any specific Urban programs that, if we have the money for, we could partner with, because I do know that teachers need a break and it can be hard to staff. So I don't know if that's something that's out.
Yeah, we haven't done that for summer programming, at least since I've been here, or that I'm aware of. I don't think it's been done even prior to me being here for that same reason, which is that it's, you know, we're not going to find Montessori programs. Like, we might be able to offer something more like a camp or something like that, and maybe that is something to discuss. Just contracting to create opportunity for community that's different than what we offer. But then that is, I would personally qualify that into a very different category that will not be urban Montessori summer school. And I don't want to put my name on it, honestly. I don't want to put our name on it if it's not Montessori. So it would be more like, you know, like just a collaboration and a contract with like this organization is going to support you through this process. So that's on the table, though, depending on some of those extra monies that Finance Committee was talking about. It would be worth exploring that as maybe an option for that. I can't remember what that one's called, Greg, but you know what I'm talking about, the extended learning one. They all are called extended learning something. He can't remember either. Yeah, there is a specific piece of funding that's coming down the pipeline that we'll look into that for.
Yeah, no, that could be interesting, especially if there's like a really, if there's high demand for the groups that don't have high need, if there is, or as high of need, if there is, or if the money is there specifically for that. But again, if there's the money.
Any other questions, comments? All right, I will.
Yep. About the professional learning monies, and I know just was talked about continuing the DEI and anti-racism work, which is awesome. Is it money? Can the use of that money be determined annually, or at what point does that, like, do decisions need to be made about that? Because I think it's for 3 years.
I think on that, the plan that we're submitting, thinking about the total amount of funding, which is just shy of $80,000, that what Greg was saying at the beginning is, yes, we can spread that out over 3 or 4 years or whatever it is, but that the impact is greater to just book it all in 1 year. It's also simpler from a, like, audit perspective, since we already spend that money every year. Like, it's money that our school had a commitment to invest in those programs already. Mm-hmm. So, like, it is an option. Like, we don't have to do it that way. We can spread it out. And I think if there's an ask from the board or the community to do it differently, we're open to that. And, like, thinking about how we allocate that money, the Finance Committee, In our conversations in Finance Committee, we decided for a couple of reasons, but like, the impact is greater to spend it all at one time in a moment when we clearly need that. It's also just like fiscally simpler from the audit perspective. So that's like a little separate logistical piece, but that's less important.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
But we're going to spend that money this year, whether or not we book that revenue to this, just to be clear. Those funds are already booked. We're already spending those. So we just have the option to, like, use those funds to support this year's PD, or we can spread it out and use it differently.
Any other questions or comments? Jan, if you are ready, I will hand it over to you for academic oversight.
Yeah, quick update this month. We kind of talked about various data collection assessments are happening, but didn't have too much to dig into. And it sounds like the data we did dig into, the chronic absence data, was not accurate. So hoping for meatier conversation in November. But, you know, as Daniel, you know, mentioned, the NWA MAP is being administered, and did the the school is administering it different this year and doing it in small groups, and that was going well, both kind of school staff as well as like students and families had commented on that. So appreciate, yeah, Daniel thinking differently about that and trying something new. Excited to, yeah, see the data and dig in our November meeting. Students had taken DIBLs in the reading assessment, but only were missing a lot of scores. So we didn't spend much time analyzing the data, since it looked that only about, you know, 2/3 of the data were in. So I think we'll come back to that in November. The Yips and Yeps social emotional screening was being given to. So that was, I think, Daniel, you started using that tool last year, right?
Yes. Yeah, and then teachers are doing that with students. Some students, our older students, are able to do that pretty independently. And it just goes into a Google form that then Ms. Jess, our school counselor, is able to access and come up with next steps.
And the, I think that was more the LPAC, initial LPAC had been given to students. That's what the English learners that are new to school or new to the state need to take that at the beginning of the year. And so all that had been is completed now. And
a quick addition to that is we're also looking at our reclassification criteria and looking to start having meetings on exiting some students from the
Yale program. Right, yes. Yeah, and I think in November we are going to discuss those criteria again. So that's kind of all, lots of things being collected, but nothing to report out to the board this month.
Thanks, Jan. Are there any questions for Jan or about the Academic Oversight Committee? I think I can speak on behalf of Jan and say, new board members, we would love to have more members on the Academic Oversight Committee.
Yes.
Plug for Academic Oversight. So. Any comments, any questions? All right, I'll hand it over to Greg for FAC. Seems gonna, no, I don't know, your name's there, so.
I'm gonna hand it right over to Maru and Kara, because it ain't me, that must be a mistake.
Fair enough.
It's all good. you want me to share the doc? Sure. I can totally do that. It's in the documents section on Board and Track for everybody else. And one moment here as I share my screen. Okay.
Okay. So I brought a different computer than the one I developed this on, so I don't have it in front of me. So thanks, Greg. We had elections, which is a very strange and convoluted process, but we have a new president who is Sita. I'm very excited for her participation, and the new board reps are myself and Maru, and I'm super excited to work with Maru and the rest of the board for the next 2 years. We let people put themselves into work groups based on what their interests were, and sort of the leading ones are facilities and campus improvement, community building and fundraising, academic oversight, extra comma, and disaster preparedness. And we are working on finalizing a roster of everyone who is involved to share school-wide, just so people know who the FAC is and who they can go to if they have questions. Recent events, we had our Campus Facility Improvement Day, which I was not able to attend, but sounds like it was amazing. And we had our Parent Education Night with Dr. Rogers Ard. We had about 25 people attend that meeting, which was a pretty good turnout. It was a great conversation. It was a lot of information. And I really want to like spend much longer with Rochelle in further meetings because she has so much there and she's condensing it so much. Okay. We just finished our readathon and it raised just over $20,000, which was awesome. We had about 33% participation, which is about what we always have for these fundraisers. So that's about where we are. Upcoming, we have our long delayed auction, which was the auction that was supposed to have happened in spring 2020, and we axed it when everything shut down. So we have a very excited group of people who are redeveloping this auction, and they're probably going to break it into two auctions. So we'll have one in the fall and one in the spring. And we're working on smaller scale fundraisers like the Chipotle Dine and Donate, which will probably happen in November. So more information about that will be forthcoming. And we're working on trying to figure out events that can be safely held on campus. We kind of have been batting around the idea of resuscitating the Gratitude Festival, which has been a longstanding tradition at the school. We don't really have a lot of momentum on people being able to take lead roles in that. So we're kind of working on figuring out what small scale things we can do. We've also talked with collaborating with the group formerly known as Latinx to help support them in another tamale sale, which was amazingly successful and delicious last year. And I would love to see that happen again. And then the upcoming workshops with Dr. Ard, Rogers Ard are in November, February, and April. And I put them all up on Parent Square just so they would be there and we wouldn't have to think about it. And I'm so excited at how many RSVPs we already have for the different events. So people are very interested in taking part in this discussion and it's exciting to see. I think that's everything. Any questions or comments or anything?
Can I just add that we changed the, I think you have in the slide, I don't know when you created that, but the group formerly known as Latinx has changed the name.
Awesome.
Yes.
Your name. You know, first yeah. FAC report of the year, you know, ever. Thank yeah. you both yeah. for putting that all together.
I did nothing. It's all Kara.
Yes, I didn't have the information in front of me when I was putting it together, but I know there is a new name that we, yeah, that's why I didn't put Latinx specifically.
Thank you. Yeah, I've noticed. Yeah.
Thank you, Sylvia.
I have to apologize too. I feel like I keep talking over people because I keep forgetting to turn the sound back on. And so anyways, if I'm talking over anybody, I really am sorry.
I have a question about the sessions with, oh my gosh, I'm gonna, Rochelle?
Rogers Ard, Rochelle.
Does she ever get any feedback or does she ever share any feedback with the board or the group?
I'm looking at Krishna for an answer to that because I have not received feedback from community members and she has not shared feedback with me.
Yeah, she's been asked for that. You mute when I talk. Thanks. Sorry, I was like, where is it coming from? Sorry, we're all in the same room over here, so the mute thing, it's complicated. Yeah, I don't think we've done some internal surveys definitely for feedback related to the work we've done with teachers that we've shared with her, and also she has done lots of the other direction where she'll like get information, like collect feedback from our staff and bring it to us and collect feedback from the public in listening sessions and share that data with us. But I'll ask her whether she'd like to put out some formal feedback forms to our community if she's interested in receiving feedback on the sessions that she gives to us. She and I check in regularly and we'll often have like a pre-conversation and a debrief, but we've known each other a long time. So it's a little less formalized and where we'll talk about like what we think, like what the experience might indicate, what would be best next. right? So we block time on our calendars for that. And we have also done that with Kara as well, where we'll talk about like, okay, so based on the things that we did last year, before we planned our sessions this year, Kara and I met with Rochelle and talked pretty extensively about what went well about the things that we offered last year and how we might tailor that and expand it and continue that work.
Okay, that's helpful to know. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Right. If not, Greg, do you want to do exec?
Yes.
Okay. I will hop into minutes.
Okay. Let me get out of the minutes. That's good. Actually, speaking of minutes, I should pull up the minutes from the executive team meeting real quick. I know that we, let's see, here we go. I know we always do a couple of things. So we talked, we reminded ourselves, we had been discussing the status of like student vaccine requirements, and so we were just tracking like the latest was part of our discussion about the governor's announcement that had just been made, so we kind of just had a sync on that, so that was one thing that, but nothing new. We're just trying to share the latest information about what the governor had declared. We checked in on the timeline and process of our head of schools evaluation for this year, which remains on track. We made a listening session available to staff here on campus in September. There'll be another opportunity in March in person. We communicated with staff also that they can, of course, always write any board member an email or ask for some time, but particularly the members of the exec committee. And then, of course, most importantly, to share their feedback directly with Ms. Krishna, so that that's always the best way. And then we created a very brief Google form, which basically is the same kind of listening session questions. And staff are going to have a chance at the Jan 3 PD day to actually have some time like here on the clock if they want to respond and give feedback using a Google form. So just trying to give people multiple avenues to share whatever they need to share. We also discussed on board member recruitment, board membership and recruitment. We kind of just discussed the latest and where we were at the time of the FAC elections. And also we would discuss Sarah Morrill's candidacy, and Sarah's here tonight. And executive committee is going to look forward to recommending Sarah for a full term with a vote in December, with a term that would start Jan 1. So between now and then, if you have questions about Sarah, that we'll make sure we her resume will go, it's been up as part of the executive committee, but so you can go look for it there, but it will also be part of the December agenda. But if you have questions for us as a committee about that process, or for Sarah, you can reach out to me and I can connect y'all, and I'm sure Sarah would love to keep getting to know all of us. And thank you for being here, Sarah. We also reviewed the COVID-19 safety plan that is kind of a requirement to review periodically. We noticed that there hadn't been too many like major changes. There'd just been some like administrative kind of clarification over the opening weeks of school. Like admin staff had kind of gone back to the document and like written a few like additional words, basically just clarify the language in the plan, but nothing like materially new. So you'll see that on tonight's consent agenda to just like reaffirm it and reapprove the COVID-19 safety plan. And then the last thing we did was that Alameda County Office of Ed had voted to approve their MOU with us and many of their other charters that they authorize to have that MOU go a few more years in time because the state extended our charter a few years along with with other schools that were recently coming up for renewal. So the county wanted to also take action to align their MOU with us, which is kind of a document that goes hand in hand with our charter. And so again, you'll see tonight a recommendation from the committee that we go ahead and approve that MOU so we can stay in business and be aligned with the county. So it's on the consent agenda. And that's what we discussed. Are there questions for me or the committee or public comments?
I think you mentioned the vaccine discussion specifically around the governor's update. I don't know when your committee meeting was, but I know OUSD just announced last night that I think it's January of 2022 that all students will be required to be vaccinated. And I'm just curious.
An addition to that is that all students who are on OUSD owned property, so that is going to extend to all charters. We got a notice today, so we'll know more on that later. I got an email at like 2 p.m. from OUSD about it. That's going to apply to people who lease from the district, probably, but just question marks on that. We don't have a ton of info.
Just to clarify, it is not all students. It is 12 years.
12 and up.
Sorry. Yes. For students who are eligible. Students.
Apologies.
Eligible.
12 years old and up. For fully FDA approved. Nothing that's an emergency approval.
Mm-hmm.
So will students under 12 most likely not be required this school year, since that will be under emergency use and not FDA approval?
Most likely.
Okay.
Question marks, right? I don't have that much more info than you do, but I think that's a good assumption.
There's no deadline right now for if 5 to 11-year-olds are approved, and recommended in next week, a mandate wouldn't apply to those kids. I don't think until at least July 1 and maybe later, because that's still only emergency authorization. We're still a ways off from it applying to them.
Gotcha. Okay.
Not that you can't, we don't recommend it. Definitely recommend it. I do. Whatever that's worth. Not a doctor, still recommend it.
The school's stance has generally been one of recommendation.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that was that piece of it applying, that OUSD's rules applying to the places they lease is definitely new information. So we can talk about that. This would apply to our 8th graders, our 7th graders, and some or all of our 6th graders. We're already supporting, or we've talked with all families about, recommending vaccinations. So we'll see how many it ends up impacting.
Okay.
I think there
are other questions or public comment for the exec committee? Exec and governance.
This is just kind of continuing the vaccine. Krishna, I thought I remember that you did put out like an optional survey to families for students 12 and older about vaccination status.
Yeah, the operations team did put out a survey. I don't have like full numbers against our actual enrollment, but I could probably get that pretty quickly, like tomorrow from Buck, though there's still people filling it out, right? So like people are like notifying us, oh, we just got our child vaccinated. How are we supposed to let you know? And we're like, please just fill out this survey. So there's no requirement that they just disclose, but many people have disclosed for students over 12 and up. And I apologize for not remembering to bring any of that data to this meeting, because I do remember we talked about it at the last meeting. But email me, Jan, and then I'll get that out. Okay.
Yeah. Be good just for you all to have an understanding of how far away you are.
Yeah, we have it on our admin ops team agenda. We already have that email today. be talking about.
Couple more just committee updates for everybody on the board. If you haven't done your like fingerprinting board clearance process, you can reach out. If you have questions about that, check your email. You can ask Krishna, you can ask me, but that's a process everyone needs to do. And new board members, you need to complete a form 700 and get that in to Ms. Krishna right away. All right, I think that's it. So I think I've got the next one too, real quick, which is just on if we have any, we might have some changes to make in our committees or officers or something. We have some new members. So, every committee, so this is just a chance for people to kind of nominate or discuss. We don't have to take actions. We can take action any month. We always agendize this topic of adding to committee memberships and things like that. So I think we're mostly looking to you, Kara and Maru, if like there's specific committees you want to be formal members of, like this is a chance to kind of ask for that. And I'm guessing your board colleagues will look to support you in figuring out how to make that happen. And if you're not quite ready, we can, like I said, we can always do it next month, but whatever's clever.
I think that Maru and I had sort of started to talk about deciding how we should split it up, because I don't think we both should be on academic oversight, because I think that would be too many staff members on academic oversight. So we need to just have a powwow about how we want to break it up. But I think both of us are interested in both finance and academic oversight. So however that breaks down.
Yeah, well, we can definitely check in, Kara. Ultimately, I know one of the ways I'm going to decide is also the time of the meetings, so that I can figure out, the kiddo and work commitments. So I think finance is meeting in what time? Sorry, I shouldn't make it up. When does finance committee meet? Is it a time that all the...
It's the Thursday before we have a regular board meeting, and I think right now it's like 3 o'clock.
3 to 4.
3 to 4, yeah.
Okay.
And then academic is, I think it's like second Tuesday is the rhythm, and we're actually going to be discussing our exact calendar and rhythm and start time. So it's actually up for conversation, but the tentative plan is starting at 3:45. So roughly similar time, yes. In the day, but it that's on a Tuesday. So one's on a Tuesday, one's on a Thursday, but roughly at the same time.
Okay.
And historically, all of those times are flexible, right? At the behest of the committee, if it works, like, if someone wants to be on a committee, but the timing doesn't work, then we can talk with the committee or the committee members to change the timing of it so that it works for everyone.
Okay. Sounds like so that's all good. So keep talking about it and maybe come to December with a recommendation of how the board deploys your talents and skills, and hopefully you'll convince us and we'll approve it. That sounds good. I wouldn't, I won't mind leaving a committee if y'all, if you guys want to jump on. So it's all good. All right, where are we at, Chair?
Oakland and California updates. I feel like we've covered a lot of it through other discussion, but I don't know whether you want to mention anything else about it.
Well, right. So we mentioned that, OUSD passed a vaccine. They had passed a vaccine mandate, and then they also additionally voted on like how to actually implement it and what start date. So we talked about that. OUSD got a letter from the county regarding their finances, and the county's understanding of their multi-year projection and use of one-time dollars, and then how that looks after those dollars are gone. OUSD responded. So these are all public documents, and I just wanted to comment that OUSD shared that when they finished with their one-time money and cut back, the expenses that are associated with those, right? Because they said, yeah, no, they're one-time dollars. We can't just keep this going forever. That they project having a 55 million dollar ending fund balance a couple years from now, and about a $10 million annual deficit. So they're going to have, when they think that kind of when they're kind of through all of this large sums of one-time money a few school years from now, their predictions and forecasts show that they've got a good chunk as an ending fund balance. It's like 10%, which is above their required minimum reserve, which is great. But the annual $10 million deficit means that it only takes a couple of years before that, and without any other changes, that end fund balance on their end would be decreased. So they continue to have work to do financially. And then the other thing that happened since the last time we met was that San Francisco Unified got something like $116 million investment from the state because of their structural deficit issues. And honestly, as an Oaklander, I was a little, you know, when that happened to Oakland like 20 years ago, Oakland got a loan and they had to have all this extra state trusteeship and all this extra hassle, and I think the bottom line is the state learned from that, and they're like, they don't really want to do it that way, which is why San Francisco is like getting kind of treated differently. But it doesn't, I don't know, there's something not quite right in my mind that happened that way. Like we lost our local control. Like, we lost our elected school board for a while. And like, as far as I know, they have not. Although many of their school board members are facing recall election, but that's a different issue. So there's some state and local context that I could share. I don't know if folks have other local things that are happening. Okay. Any public comment on that? All right, I'm going to make a motion to approve the minutes from the 23rd. I never make a motion to approve the minutes.
Are you going to take the notes on this, or
sure.
You want me to? Okay, all right, I am hopping out. All right, I will second that motion, Greg.
Thanks, Davis. Is there any questions or discussion or public comment on the minutes? All right. With that then, Davis, how do you vote?
Aye.
This is Greg. I vote aye. Jan?
Abstain.
Kara?
Aye.
Maru? I see. Thumbs up. Yes.
He's giving a thumbs up.
There you go. Yep.
Yes. Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
All right, the motion passes.
All right. Next, we are going to talk about the general consent report. Does anyone have any questions? Do we need to pull anything from the general consent report? Okay. If there is no discussion or we don't need to pull anything, can I have a motion on the general consent report?
I motion to approve.
Kara motions to approve. Stacy seconds.
Any public comment or questions or discussion? I know you probably just said that, Davis. All right, I'm going to call the vote. Davis?
Aye.
This is Greg. I say aye. Jan?
Abstain.
Kara?
Aye.
Maru? I see the thumbs up again. There you go.
Yep. Aye. Sorry.
Aye. There you go. Thank you. It helps for the recording. I appreciate it for the audio recording.
Sorry, I'm going between screens. Sorry.
That's all good.
Stacy said aye.
Awesome. Motion passes.
Motion passes.
And that
Thank
was seconded.
You.
Stacey, you seconded that one?
Yes.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any new business for future meetings? You can either state it here or you can email, text someone. You can go in and put it on the agenda yourself. So, does anyone have any new business for future meetings? Okay, does not appear so. So with that, we will move into closed session. So we will ask non-board members to leave
Hold on, don't go yet. Just to be clear. So what time is it? It's at 7:44. So you're announcing, go ahead. You're going to announce we're going to go into closed session. And if you could read the two topics that we're going to go into closed session on
from
the
agenda. So we are moving into closed session. The topics being discussed are public employee performance evaluation for the head of school. And we will also be discussing the conference with the real property negotiator for the property at 451 Steel Street in Oakland. The agency negotiator is Krishna Feeney. The negotiating parties are UMCS and Oakland USD. And under negotiation will be the instruction to the negotiator for concerning price and terms.
And is there any public comment on either of those items? All right, so with that, I'm gonna pause the recording and we'll go into closed session, just the board and our head.
Hello, everyone. We are returning to open session at 8:39. There were no actions taken during closed session. And with that, we will adjourn this meeting. Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.